Hello, and welcome to Win Stupid Prizes, the show where we ask the questions that nobody else thought were worth asking. I'm Eddie, and I'm joined today by my good friends, Toby.
Hello, I'm also a friend of Eddie.
AJ.
Eddie is very popular, you know.
And our judge this week is Jamie.
Hello, it's me again.
And Jamie, as our judge, I hear you've got a question about some sort of creature.
Oh, yes, well, here at Hexagorgon, we all love our Pokemon.
Oh boy.
I've been thinking for the last 21 years, ever since Red and Blue came out, which Pokemon would be the best to have in real life?
Oh, okay.
Now, that's not the question here, because I've solved this.
Wait, what?
The answer is Snorlax, because it's the best Pokemon.
I have questions.
I'm the one who's bringing the questions this week, Eddie. So, the question I've actually got for you guys is, which Pokemon's the second best Pokemon to have in real life? Because I've already taken Snorlax.
Right, okay. So is this a world in which you have a Snorlax and we get the second Pokemon?
Yeah, okay.
Is there also a lack of, like, other Pokemon in the world? There's going to be two Pokemon, yours, a Snorlax, and this other Pokemon, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, boy.
So obviously, there are hundreds of Pokemon. Approximately 151 of them.
I got news, boy.
I mean, 800 and something odd. So, who's got some honorable mentions for me? I mean, I assume it's everyone.
Abra.
Abra?
Because he just teleports places, right? Never walk again. Grab onto an Abra. Teleports you. Admittedly, you don't know where you're going because it just kind of teleports to a random location. But
well, no, I do know where I'm going. I'm going to the entrance of the place I'm in.
The cave that you happen to be exploring at the time?
Yes.
Brilliant.
That does sound useful.
Just make sure he doesn't ditch you before then.
On a theme, one of my honorable mentions was Alakazam.
Ah.
Because, I don't know if you knew this, just have a guess at how small Alakazam is.
I actually looked this up and it's...
No.
It's why I avoided Alakazam.
Yeah. IQ of over 5,000.
Oh no. I don't know if that would be a good or a bad thing.
And like, even if Pokeballs like gave you control over them, it would outsmart me eventually. It's got it's got like 50 times my IQ approximately. One of the things I read about Alakazam as well is that its brain is so big that it has to use telekinesis to hold its head up. It doesn't have the muscle strength to do that.
Yeah.
What a stupid Pokemon.
That's where 4,000 of the IQ is going.
Straight to its head. Well, it's still got 1,000 to outsmart me with. It will be fine.
Yeah.
But that's why I picked Abra over any of its evolutions.
Yeah.
It's like, I will get outsmarted by any of the other ones. But Abra just like panic teleports somewhere. I can deal with that.
Are you ready for the panic teleport though?
No.
When like you're just walking along and like someone walks around the corner and the Abra just...
No, I'm not ready for that, which is why one of my other honorable mentions is Pidgey. Because Pidgey is the smallest bird that can learn fly.
Nice.
You're going to fly around the world on a bird that's approximate...
On the back of a pigeon.
On the back of a pigeon.
Basically, yeah.
Do you ride the pigeon, or do you hang from its talons?
I don't know, but I'm excited to find out.
How big is Pidgey?
About the size of a pigeon.
Actually, just a pigeon.
It might be slightly bigger, but it's around that size.
That's pretty bold, Ed. That's pretty bold.
But it can learn fly, and by definition in the Pokemon world, therefore, it can fly me places.
Okay.
You have to have been there first, though.
Yeah, but, like, I got to travel there once, and I can get flown there near instantaneously. Brilliant.
I guess, yeah, you fly somewhere with your Pidgey.
Does this work in the real world?
I hope so, otherwise I'm fucked up.
Because you wouldn't be having Pidgey in the Pokemon world, you'd be having it in this world.
Yeah.
And we think the Pidgey...
I'm willing to take that gamble.
Oh, okay.
But, like, the reason I didn't pick Pidgeotto or Pidgeot, either its evolutions, was because they're bigger and require more storage space.
That's a problem.
Because just carry Pidgey on your shoulder, and they're like, oh, I need to go home. Oh, whee!
That does sound ideal.
Exactly. People own pigeons. They don't take much to feed. But, like, once they get bigger than that, I ain't got time for that.
I think it's really interesting that we're going hard in at the start on, like, utility Pokemon. How will this Pokemon improve my quality of life? And I appreciate that.
That brings me on nicely to one of the ones that, as I was just, like, scrolling through Pokemon.com, the Pokedex, Charjabug, who is basically, you know, you get those, like, portable phone chargers, basically.
It's just a battery.
Yeah.
It's just that.
It's a battery with pincers, right?
It's a battery as a bug. It can charge my phone wherever I am. It's a bug. I feed it food, it makes electricity. Brilliant.
I feel like the real problem here is, you said, I can have anything in the world. What do I want? I want a battery. I think that's the actual problem with the battery pack as an answer of your Pokemon choice.
This is why it was an honorable mention and not like a serious answer. Like, it's useful, but I save myself 50 quid every few years. Okay.
So, an incredibly useful Pokemon, but with a lot of downsides, but hear me out here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm hyped.
Onyx.
Oh, I do love a good Onyx.
Look, everyone needs underground tunnels. If you look at tube networks, got to do all this excavation, Onyx can do it for you. It can travel at 50 miles an hour, according to the Pokédex entry. 50!
Underground?
It's probably faster than Pidgey.
Is that 50 miles an hour underground or above ground?
Underground, I think.
Bloody hell.
My question is, how do you get an Onyx to safely traverse underground near, say, London?
This is the problem with Onyx. If there's anything under the ground, you're in trouble.
But HS2 and all that like, go out to Birmingham, plow through mostly countryside, so there's, like, a good 50-mile stretch that you can get Onyx to do in a day, in, like, an hour, apparently.
Exactly.
I can see another downside to Onyx.
I can think of a few.
So offended.
No, this is the big downside.
I can think of a few.
Okay, so you're going to get crazy bucks digging tunnels for people, but most of the people who are willing to pay you the most bucks are going to be the fracking companies. So your stewardship of Onyx is going to be plagued by people phoning you, asking you to do, like, ecologically questionable things.
I didn't want to be evil. That wasn't why I didn't pick Onyx, but you're right.
I mean, to be honest, the fact that we are controlling sentient creatures already brings in a bunch of questionable morals. But, you know, we'll wave that away.
They're our friends, right?
Oh, yes. That's why they have a friendship stat.
Yeah, our friends who we're using to subcontract out to London companies to dig tunnels for them are good friends.
Mm.
But if you want to make money and you don't want to have to deal with questionable people, just pick Wooloo.
Wooloo.
They've got incredibly soft fur, shear it every now and then, sell that for the Mundo bucks, because I think it's one of the softest furs, like, wools around. Sorry, not fur, wool.
Is Wooloo a sheep?
Yes.
It has plaits. It's lovely.
It's also almost spherical.
That is an adorable sheep, I'll give you that.
It is adorable. It's, like, pretty much useless other than having, like, super cushy wool, but, you know.
I really love Wooloo, and I would be happy to give Wooloo a shot. Jamie, though, I happen to know, has a specific issue with this Pokemon.
Yes, I have an allergy to wool.
Ooh.
What about Wooloo wool?
Good question. There are types of wool that are safe.
Yeah, you know, like, some people are allergic to, like, name two types of wool, shit. Some people are allergic to sheep's wool, but not to cashmere?
Alpaca wool.
Yeah.
Alpaca wool, yeah, thank you. Some people are allergic to sheep's wool, but not alpaca wool. So maybe Wooloo wool just hasn't got that allergen.
I mean, it is a sheep, though.
It's kind of a sheep. I think if we go down the route the Pokemon are literally animals, we're going to run into a whole heap of other issues.
Not for sure.
The opening line here is, Wooloo is a sheep-like Pokemon, not a sheep.
Sheep adjacent.
But its type is a sheep Pokemon.
I didn't notice that.
So, you know.
What ends up in that type line is always kind of confusing sometimes.
Despite one of its hidden abilities is bulletproof.
Now you're talking.
It's what is soft and effective.
I'm changing my main answer if it's bulletproof.
Get shot. Oh, I've got a wool jersey on. It's all good. You just have to hope that that's the hidden ability it's got.
Yeah, otherwise you're
hope that it's stored in the wool so when you shear it and then put it on for yourself.
Yeah.
It's just Kevlar, but in fluffiness. I'm going to go a completely different way now. Not to make money at all, but just to solve a problem that a lot of people have. You pick Klefki.
Oh.
If you look him up,
that's
the keyring Pokemon.
It's the keyring Pokemon.
Oh my god.
Really?
You've done it again.
Never lose your keys again.
Oh my god.
Make friends with a Klefki, give it your keys, and allegedly, if it really likes a key, it doesn't like giving up on it. So that's why you got to make friends with it. So it's like, oh, this key was given to you by my best friend. I'm going to hold on to it forever. So you're like, I've got to get into my house, but I'm pissed as all hell and I don't know where my keys are. Hey, Klefki, open the door.
Ed, when did you become incredibly boring? What happened?
Oh, any Pokemon ever.
That would have been
the key ring.
The summer of 2020.
So, my final honourable mention. This is a very specific Pokemon, which is, you know, if you're ever feeling alone, you need a dad figure in your life. You get Dadchu along, and Dadchu is Pikachu from the Detective Pikachu movie, voiced by Ryan Reynolds. As, I mean, why wouldn't you want that as your best friend?
Oh, you've picked actually Detective Pikachu.
Yes.
You picked Ryan Reynolds.
I considered this as one of my real answers, but thought it would be cheating. So Detective Pikachu.
I would be forced to accept it.
Pretty good.
Can't say no to that.
You've not broken any of the rules that we set out all don't pick Snorlax of them.
Yeah. AJ, do you have any honourable mentions?
Yeah, I'm also going down the utility route, but I think I've nailed it in that my honourable mention is a lot cuter. And also it solves a problem for me, which is that I'm essentially a cold-blooded person. And Fennekin is able to eat one twig and then pump out of its ears enough air to like heat its surroundings to 390 degrees Fahrenheit, which I believe is a lot in centigrade.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be near that.
No, does this not have health and safety issues associated?
It looks very cute.
Can it rein that in to a reasonable temperature?
I could just stand far away from it.
390 degrees Fahrenheit is 200 degrees Celsius.
Yes.
Yeah, so I might be rethinking this.
I mean, there is, however, there's one big benefit to Fennekin. It evolves into a fox witch.
And it's cute.
And it's cute, but it evolves into a literal magic fox witch lady.
Is this an advantage?
The thing is, because I was going to say, Wooloo, wool is notoriously quite a good insulator, so, like, just use that.
Yeah, that relies on you producing heat in the first place, which is my major issue.
All right, okay, so use a fennec to heat up your Wooloo, and then wrap yourself in the wool.
They're going to kill your Wooloo.
I mean, it's only got to take less than its maximum HP points, and I'm fine.
I'm excited to learn that Fennekin actually evolves into a witch that can see the future, which I think is going to be too overpowered for this conversation.
I made a note of Rotom as well, which is the Pokemon that can transform into appliances. Like, can become like a lawnmower, a microwave, a fridge sort of thing.
I think technically it's haunting them.
Correct. That's why it's an honourable mention.
Oh.
Because it doesn't save you the money of buying the appliance. It just takes over your appliance and makes it run a bit better if it's feeling nice. If I could not have to buy a fridge, that's worth a choice.
I see it.
But if it's just, my fridge now makes ice a bit faster, it's like, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, my lawnmower can mow the lawn by itself.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of good, actually.
But I still had to buy this lawnmower.
One option that I've chosen not to talk about for my main answer is probably everybody's secret favourite. I say this because it's mine. Eevee.
Eevee's pretty good. Also, canonically, teams up with Snorlax.
What's not to love?
Yeah, the thing is, we all love Eevee. But I think if I wanted an Eevee, I'd just get, like, a real pet instead. Because all the things I like about Eevee are just things that my dog does.
I was thinking that. I was like, you've just picked a pet.
Yeah.
Is what you've done there. Which is lovely, but there's much better Pokemon out there.
I've solved it. We just combine your two options. Flareon. It's an Eevee that can keep you warm.
It's a good boy.
Good shout.
That does sound good.
Okay, so we've covered some honourable mentions, but these ones aren't as fully fleshed out answers as I hope you three are going to bring to the actual discussion to win this second place. As a side note, everyone's presenting two or three answers here because there are so many Pokemon, it's hard to cut down. So, Eddie, we'll start with you with one of your real answers.
All right.
What you got for us?
Well, okay, so my first, like, main thought, and this was quite off the bat, like a really solid choice, and that's Machoke.
Okay.
One of the great things about Machoke is that they actively help people with manual labor. That's, like, one of their main shticks. They enjoy helping people. They're big, strong boys. They can control their strength, unlike Machamp.
I was going to ask why you hadn't picked Machamp, yes.
Specifically because if Machamp isn't using its full strength, it can't coordinate its arms properly.
That's weird.
It is weird.
Machamp was actually a form of transportation in one of the games where the bottom two arms cradled you and the top two arms pushed boulders out the way.
That might be fine because if it's using its full strength to like punch the boulders, it might count as fine for its arms just to like hold you in place.
Yeah, but okay. If there aren't any boulders around, it will just crush you.
Yeah, like it did specifically say, if it's trying to do something like delicate or intricate,
it
cannot control its arms properly because it doesn't know how to not handle its full strength. But apparently Machoke is actually really good at that. They enjoy helping people, unlike Machop, so that's why it's an upgrade from Machop as well. It has like a strength regulating belt as well, so like it knows that it needs to have a cap on itself. It's quite sensible about thinking about those sorts of things, and it can always just rip it off if it really needs to.
I do remember Machoke's helping me move into my house.
Yeah.
I can see this. They're very useful. They're strong, but also they're helpful.
Like, okay. This was definitely, like, a major consideration for me at the moment because my parents are having the kitchen redone.
Oh, okay.
And we could really do with an extra pair of strong boy arms.
In addition to your strong boy arms.
Yeah, obviously, like, I'm clearly capable of handling it myself, but it would be really handy to have a second creature that was as strong as I am. let's see, what else have I got here? Yeah, like, one of the big things about Machoke is that it is, like, a benevolent creature that enjoys helping other people, which means that they're also good to help the world with, like, community projects and things. Like, it's a little tricky to help the world as a whole with just one Pokemon, but helping communities is still, like, a big step towards that. You improve some people's lives, and that hopefully has a knock-on effect.
It's symbolic, isn't it? If we're going to have only two Pokemon in the entire world, if at least one of them is awake long enough to help people out, that's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, we've got, like, the helpful Pokemon and the one that's asleep right now.
You can directly help the world, because during disaster times, you can send Machoke to a disaster zone and they can help, like, lift earthquake rubble and things like this. With their immense strength, they can get a much larger lifting force into a much smaller area than most machinery, which makes them really useful for, like, immediate disaster response.
Yeah. That means you need to live near the disasters, though.
Well, he can fit on an aeroplane. He's only 5 foot tall.
I guess. You just buy Machoke just a normal...
Exactly. Just buy him a ticket.
Airplane trip.
Whack him in.
Yeah. He's getting shipped out to help disaster zone. They'll fly him out for free.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Are you prepared and are you on the ball enough to press the B button fast enough to stop him turning into the dangerous Machamp?
So here's the thing about that, right? To evolve into a Machamp, you have to trade him.
Oh, is it a trade?
He's a trade one. So as long as I never give him to someone else, he will never evolve. Completely avoid that problem.
By that logic, he can't help the world, because as soon as you send him across to go and help him in an earthquake zone...
So I might have to go with him then and be like, I am...
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
I'm his manager, effectively, here.
He's still mine.
Also, like, Machoke is humanoid enough
that,
to be honest, most of the things in this world are designed for things that shape. You could buy him some clothes, could sleep in a normal bed, wouldn't need to be cramped in a Pokeball all the time, fit through most doors.
It would fit in seatbelts so that your car doesn't make a constant bing, bing, bing as you're travelling around the world to disaster zones.
Basically becoming Thunderbirds, but with a Machoke.
One of my thoughts about when I was picking my Pokemon is, how can I make money from this?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the main two ways here, well, the main way here is on the small scale, effectively hiring him out as a handyman.
Construction.
Yeah, construction, exactly, right? But he can do the work of 10 men in one afternoon. So the time that they save is worth a bit more value.
Okay. We've gone from disaster relief to money making, but okay.
Yeah, like, I can donate him to disaster relief causes, write that off as a business expense, easy peasy.
Oh, you've really thought about this.
And if that work dries up because he's just way too efficient, we just hire him out as, like, a bouncer or something like that.
No one's going to make any trouble in a club being bounced by a Machoke.
Like, look at this stupid 5 foot guy. He punches someone across to the other side of the street through that building into the next street, and everyone goes, I'll be good.
Can it hurt people, though?
I mean, it doesn't want to, but it can. Like, physically, it can.
Okay. There's an extremely popular fanfic out there that addresses the idea of Pokemon being able to hurt people or not, and it's due to some magical limiters being put on them, and the fanfic addresses what happens when those limiters break.
Oh no.
But yeah, the fact that, like, Pokemon can or can't hurt people is a bit of a weird one, because, like, if you read a lot of, like, the Pokedex entries, they can hurt people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so Machoke is a bouncer, works.
That's my main points about, like, Machoke, though. I was trying to work out, how would they help me? How could they help other people? And how can I make a bit of money off this? Was, like, the key things I was trying to hit with my choices.
You missed an important one.
Yeah.
Hiring Machoke out as a stunt double for movies. Ooh. Like, action movie stunt double.
He can double up as...
Dress it up like the other character.
Tom Cruise. He can be Tom Cruise.
He can be Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise does all his own stunts. Ruined.
But Tom Cruise is 7 foot tall. Machoke is just too wide for Tom Cruise, surely.
Almost certainly, but the right height.
Yeah.
So, Toby, what have you brought to the table for us?
So, I was going to do these in the other order. A lot of your arguments are similar. So I went for Hitmonchan.
Okay.
Because the gym's been closed, you can't go, there's all this whole horrible disease thing going on. But fitness has suffered terribly, and really what I need is a small, indomitable fighting creature to improve my fitness into a well-oiled fighting machine.
And that's why you picked Tom Cruise.
And that's why I picked Tom Cruise.
Good.
Okay, so far we have two fighting types.
Yeah, so like several of the points that you made, Jamie, the form factor is almost that of a human. And so in case there's some kind of terrible problem with people trying to kidnap Pokemon, we can dress him up as approximately a human with a glass, but maybe we'll be able to tell.
Just like Tom Cruise.
I like that your argument is not that he can defend himself, but that just dress him up.
I don't want him to fight people. Yeah, so yeah, a lot of the things that you were saying, Ed, in terms of like, he's kind of practical, I can lend him out as a personal trainer if I need to. He's not huge. The other like really crucial thing that Hitmonchan is not likely to accidentally ruin my life. A lot of the Pokemon have a really high chance of just like sneeze. If you've got a Blastoise in your house and Blastoise sneezes, you've got thousands of pounds of property damage.
I was like heavily reliant on Machoke's specifically benevolent nature to not do that.
I do have a question.
Yes.
In comparison to Machoke, Machoke has hands.
Mm.
Hitmonchan has boxing gloves.
Yes.
Gloves.
I'm not loaning out Hitmonchan to do any lifting, you know. His job is punching things, teaching me to punch things, helping me do exercise. Did you know that Hitmonchan is said to possess the spirit of a boxer, a famous pro boxer, which I'm going to choose to believe is Muhammad Ali? So what I'm saying is I've got the reincarnation of Muhammad Ali in Hitmonchan. I don't see what more you could want as a best friend.
I don't think you're going to keep up.
I'm not, but he's indomitable. He's going to keep trying, man. This is the whole point of a personal trainer. He's going to be enthusiastic.
But you'll have, like, you'll be worn out, and you'll have to have a break, and then you've got a Hitmonchan that's got the spirit of a boxer, has only boxing gloves in front of it, no hands to interact with the world. That's going to get bored.
Mm.
I'll buy it a punching bag, and then it can punch that too. Solved.
Yeah, I do think it has a really specific hobby. And that's really helpful for this kind of highly destructive weapon Pokemon.
Oh, sorry, I burst the punching bag. You have 8 holes in your wall.
Yeah, I think that's the point I was about to make. I think the issue you're going to have compared to my Machoke, whereas Machoke, I can, like, yeah, if he breaks stuff, he can go out and earn a living and repair it. Whereas Hitmonchan is going to break stuff, cost you more because you've got to buy the boxing equipment. And I'm not sure if he's going to be able to, like, earn that back for you.
I mean, if it is actually Muhammad Ali, I'm definitely going to be able to sell the services as a trainer. There's literally no way. If I can show that he's as good as Muhammad Ali, people will be lining up to either watch him beat up real boxers.
You're going to enter a Pokemon into real boxing tournaments. To be honest, there's nothing in the rules of boxing, as far as I'm aware, that states it has to not be a Pokemon that's entered into the tournament.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's nothing in the rules of basketball that says a dog can't play basketball. Therefore, there's nothing in the rules of boxing that says a Pokemon can't play boxing.
Exactly. If a dog was smart enough to play basketball and was like, guys, I want to play basketball, if they didn't let him in, that would be rude. Unless it was on ability.
Like, I'm sorry, you just didn't make the cut. Like, it's not that we don't want you to play, it's that you're just not good enough.
You're quite small.
You just keep chasing the ball.
You've got no opposable thumbs. What are you going to do?
I have not seen that film, so I don't know how it plays out. I can only assume badly.
I think I would be the person who let the dog onto my basketball team.
The thing I find really funny about that scene specifically is that the opponent's coach is really annoyed that they're allowed to play with a dog. They're not like, excellent, they're a man down, they're playing with a dog, easy win. He goes, this can't possibly be in the rules. And it's like, dude, it's a dog, it hasn't got thumbs, what's it gonna do? It can't walk on its hind legs.
I've never had a Hitmonchan because I've always had a Hitmonlee.
Look, I thought about kicking, but realistically, if there's any part of my body that I'm okay at doing exercise on, it's my legs.
That's a very good point.
Hitmonchan is also playing to the new webcam culture. If you ever need an interview, you want your top half to look buff. That's
exactly
the more important half of the
body. That's more important.
That's the only half they see.
I could just be a triangle.
You could be. You could have no legs right now, as far as I'm aware.
Who would know?
Did you have any consideration to the one Hitmon we haven't talked about yet?
There's another Hitmon?
Hitmon Top.
What?
Hang on, I need to Google this.
So, later on they added like Tyrogue or whatever it's called, which is the baby Hitmon that evolves into all three. I think it's something like if you've got higher attack, it evolves into Hitmonlee, higher defense, you evolve into Hitmonchan, and balance, you evolve into Hitmon Top. So, did you ever consider Hitmontop? And by your surprise, I'm assuming...
Yes, I can reliably inform you I had no idea this Pokemon existed until just now.
It spins on its heads and kicks people. It fights with that style that I always forget the name of, that character from Tekken fought with. That was really cool. I might be wrong. The Brazilian dance fighting.
Capoeira?
That one.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I just want to read out one of the lines of the Pokédex because I find it really funny, which is, if you become enchanted by its smooth, elegant, dance-like kicks, you may get drilled hard.
Sorry, what?
It has a spike on its head.
That's the reason they call it Hitmontop, huh?
God damn, that is good.
That's fantastic. Oof.
So, when your Hitmon trains you up,
yeah,
you are currently the Tyrogue. Which type of Hitmon are you going to evolve into when you finish your training?
Which is the nerdiest Hitmon?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, what were the stats? Attack, defense, balance?
Yeah, no, attack, defense, or they're equal.
Ah, oh man.
Yeah.
I mean, probably defense, because I'm a wuss.
I think I'm right in saying defense is Hitmonchan.
I mean, that works out, because then Hitmonchan will have taught me to be Hitmonchan.
Yeah.
I will have lived up to his dream. Well, I'll be living out his dream, and he'll be kind of annoyed, because he's a pro boxer stuck in a Pokemon's body. But we'll work something out. Maybe we'll have a title match where I fight him.
If you fight him, you'll earn double the money. That's genius.
It's a perfect solution. Then I will be the human Hitmonchan.
I've also just checked that Hitmonchan is 4'7", so only slightly shorter than Machoke, and therefore can play Tom Cruise.
So does someone just want to guess Tom Cruise's height?
I looked this up not that long ago.
That bad, is it?
No, I think he's like my height.
He's like 5 foot.
Yeah.
Dead on.
He's 5'4", I'm going to say.
I'll go 5'6", because I think he's slightly higher than that.
He is 5'7".
Basically 7 foot tall.
Yeah.
That's not much shorter than me. It is shorter than me, though, and that's important.
No. It's actually a totally reasonable height.
It's below average, but it's not, like, ridiculously so.
Toby, I've got one issue with your choice of Pokemon.
How dare you?
Which is that if he's going to train you up until you evolve into Hitmonchan... then you're breaking the rule about there only being two Pokemon and one of them has to be Snorlax.
Ah, I don't have a defense. You're right, I have cheated. By becoming part Hitmonchan, I will have broken the rules.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends how much Hitmonchan I am, I guess. You know, how successful the training is.
I mean, you were aiming for the top half Hitmonchan. So that's only like three foot and a bit.
3 feet of Hitmonchan. Oh,
the ideal amount.
When Jamie comes to choose a winner, if the reason that he decides that you don't win is because if you evolve into Hitmonchan, you break the rule of there only being two Pokemon, you've been robbed. That's all I can say. If there's other reasons, fine. Yeah, I can think of a lot of other reasons why other Pokemon might win, because obviously Machoke is better. But if it's only because of that, you've been robbed.
Okay, so I have another question. Obviously, because Snorlax has already won, important factors include, like, could you cuddle up and have a nap? Or is he big and soft and friendly? So how well does Hitmonchan like work on that angle? When you're not furiously training, can you like have a bit of a, you know, a snuggle, a nice little snuggle and a nice little nap together? Can you block a road?
I can guarantee to you that me and Hitmonchan are gonna be tight. We're gonna be napping together, we're gonna be sleeping in the same bed, we're gonna be having a great time.
In those big, strong arms that are actually really thin for some reason.
Exactly. He's gonna hold me. I'm going to feel really, like, safe and secure.
Aww.
It's going to be lovely. It's going to be really good.
But he's just worse than Machoke, surely. Machoke has got those much beefier arms to keep you much better cuddled.
But the problem with Machoke is that Machoke's going to make me feel bad about my spindly self. Whereas Hitmonchan's body type is definitely achievable.
Hitmonchan's body type is attainable by putting on boxing gloves.
Exactly. Perfect.
And, like, cutting off your legs.
Yeah, I mean, certainly trimming off a long man in my legs.
Don't need those.
Not important. They're not punching. Yeah. I mean, I'd be cuddling with Hitmonchan all night, because we're training all day.
Nah, I think you want a beefier boy.
The reason now, I didn't give Ed the chance to answer a question like that. Also, he did just defend Machoke as a good hugger.
He looks like your bro who is all about hugging.
He does.
He basically looks like Andy, yeah.
Hey!
No one will know who Andy is, but Andy might listen to this.
Hey! In that case, shout out to Andy, you look like Machoke?
Oh no!
Right, that's Hitmonchan. So, AJ, what have you brought for us?
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to rethink some things, because none of the Pokemon I've chosen can adequately impersonate... Damn it, I've forgotten his name.
Tom Cruise?
And admittedly, some of the issues that we've already discussed to do with weaponization and ethics might also be an issue. So the first Pokemon that I'd like to talk about is a popular favorite, Charizard.
Oh, no.
Isn't that just the like worst choice compared to Blastoise?
I disagree. You know, we were talking earlier about how having Blastoise sneeze in your kitchen would cause thousands of pounds of property damage.
Charizard would burn your house down.
Gigantamax Charizard would definitely burn your house down.
Gigantamax Charizard wouldn't fit in your house.
Yes.
That's very true. So regular Charizard is like an A-grade weapon. He is terrifying. It says in the Pokedex, Charizard's powerful flame can melt absolutely anything.
Fuck.
And I just don't think you can say fairer than that, you know?
This seems like a terrible idea.
What are you planning to melt?
Well, for example, boulders, massive glaciers, occasionally like the odd forest, but primarily things that actually need melting.
We really do not need to accelerate the melting of glaciers right now.
No.
Except on Mars. I think that Charizard has excellent terraforming potential, and looking to the future, if we're going to be bringing a new species into the world, it had better be good on Mars. Charizard fulfills that criteria.
That's a really long-term plan.
Are you sure you're not just pretending to be a less evil version of Elon Musk and then revealing you are, in fact, equally evil?
Yeah.
And you're just going to use your Charizard to destroy everything?
I was assuming that this was, a supervillain plan, or like a hold the world at ransom plan. I will melt the polar ice caps if you don't pay me $1 million.
Yeah, I mean...
You're really lowballing. Let's go, bitch.
You got to start somewhere, like, you know, that is like, all right, we can pay you a million. Yeah, a million's not difficult for us to get hold of. And, you know, if that keeps you quiet for a while, all right, now $1 billion. Like, what? We just gave you $1 million. What do you mean? I've still got the Charizard. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Well, something that you haven't considered is, according to Pokemon Sapphire, Charizard never turns its fiery breath on any opponent weaker than itself.
Oh.
Yeah.
So if you ever want to... What counts as an opponent?
Okay, so I'm thinking an opponent needs to be animate, so it can still destroy anything.
Okay.
But it can't actually kill people that are weaker than it, which is everyone except for Tom Cruise.
I'll say this. It won't turn its fiery breath on opponents weaker than itself, but it still has chomping great jaws and big, nasty-looking claws.
Yeah, that's very true.
And it can stomp on people.
It's also only relaxed when it's just won a fight. Charizard has like edgy teenager vibes.
AJ, I appreciate what you're going for here, but this, like, everything you say is just convincing me more and more that this is a terrible idea that's going to go horribly wrong.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
You sound like you're arguing against Charizard.
I love Charizard, and I think we all need to recognize how much of a hot mess it is and just welcome that into our lives.
There is one benefit to Charizard I can see.
One?
And that's having an actual dragon in real life. I know it's not dragon type, but having an actual dragon in the world.
I've got a real benefit to having Charizard.
Okay.
And that is that he is 5'7" tall, which, as we just discussed, is the exact right height for playing Tom Cruise.
My God.
I think if it weren't for its horrific personality flaws, Charizard would be a great Pokemon to welcome into the world.
Mentioning its horrific personality flaws, I'd like to point out, do you have enough badges to control this Pokemon?
Honestly, I'm not sure I do.
If Ash's Charizard is anything to go by...
Which it is.
You're going to release Charizard. You're going to be Charizard, melt, fly to Mars, melt me these glaciers for the terraforming process, and Charizard is going to look at you and it's going to fly.
That's very true. That's why, for my second Pokemon...
Hang on, I want to make a point against what Toby just said there, because doesn't, in the anime, several times Charizard, when Ash is like, melt this boulder, Charizard instead melts Ash?
Ooh.
Well, no, so here's the thing. Ash's Charizard is strong enough to ignore Ash based on the number of badges he's got until I believe he releases him.
Charizard, you have to really assert your dominance like it's a really willful puppy that breathes fire.
Because Charizard in the cartoon was the representation of the Pokemon that's too strong for you to control.
I know that fire starters are not your favourite kind of Pokemon. That's why, for my next pick, I've gone with a really big, cuddly water Pokemon.
That's more like it.
It's Lapras, the transport Pokemon, which I think is really underselling it. Initially, I must admit, I looked into Lapras because its Gigantamax form can comfortably house 5,000 people.
Gigantamax form is basically, it's an island on the back of a Lapras.
It's a cruise ship is what it is.
Ah, I see where this is going.
But I think if that's all you see when you look at Lapras, that's very sad. These are actually very intelligent, very emotionally aware Pokemon. They can learn to understand human speech and even develop telepathy, which is pretty advanced for a cruise ship.
They'd better learn telepathy, because have you ever actually heard a Lapras?
I do know that to keep in touch with others of its kind, it sings enchanting melodies.
So I'm going to let people in on a little secret here. I caught AJ researching for this. So I looked up Lapras to listen to Lapras, and I watched a little bit of the cartoon. It sounds vaguely like woo.
And that's why it was almost hunted to extinction.
It sounds like a distressed whale.
Yeah, basically.
It has a giant ring around it that allows you to break icebergs, so you can just go on round the world cruises every year with your buddy Lapras.
Is this Gigantamax or regular?
I think that's regular as well, but I'm not
sure. On its shell.
Like, around it.
The image that I'm looking at, the Gigantamax, has this weird, like, musical ice ring around
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so it's a Gigantamax one.
Are you specifically going for the Gigantamax, or are you, like, which version are you?
That's a really good question.
Because the Gigantamax version seems like a real supervillain move once again.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, it can house 5,000 people, I can move around the world, I can destroy glaciers. I know we said, like, think of a couple of reasons as to why you would pick this Pokemon. And was one of the reasons you picked each of your Pokemon, AJ, I want to rule the world?
Was that not why you asked the question? I mean, I'm not going to lie, if you're going to bring a Pokemon into the human world, like, Snorlax is your number one to hang out with.
Yeah.
And your number two is your rule the world Pokemon, right?
Hmm. I mean, basically, you've got a mobile secret base on the back of a Gigantamax Lapras.
What's not to like?
It's not a bad argument, just a very different direction to how I went with it.
Yeah, me too.
Wait, am I going to become the good guy here? Do I have to take you down with a Snorlax? Are Snorlax and I going to get our ninja outfits on and sneak into the Lapras secret base and depose you from your evil reign of tyranny?
I don't think you could handle the enchanting melodies we're kicking out. It's so majestic.
Almost sings as well as you.
Oh! So the thing about Lapras is I might be an evil genius, but Lapras is just a super nice Pokemon. It doesn't even like fighting other Pokemon. It was nearly hunted to extinction. And it just really likes taking people for rides around on its back. It's like a big friendly dolphin. The only downside that I was able to think of for Lapras is that it may trigger renegotiations of local fishing rights, which I know is a particularly fraught topic.
So, I have a question about Lapras. Are you aware of its typing?
It is a big Chungus.
That is its official typing, yeah. Big and Chungus.
No.
So Lapras is a water ice Pokemon. And we have already established that an important point for you is staying warm. So do you want to ride the oceans on the living embodiment, kind of ice?
Yeah, I'm going to go with no. So on that basis, I'd like to introduce you to my third and final Pokemon. It's Stoutland, the big-hearted Pokemon.
Stoutland?
How are you going to use Stoutland to take over the world?
That's the thing. Stoutland is me revealing my secret, pure heart. Stoutland is just a big, cuddly boy who really wants to hang out with the family and be a pet.
Look at the tash on that boy.
So, Snorlax and me are doing our 007 sneak into the secret Lapras base. And we get to the room, and then you turn round in your evil genius chair, and you're just stroking a Stoutland.
Stoutland is a bit too big for that. It's about 3 feet tall, so I'd have to be sitting on the chair, and then Stoutland would be straddling my lap.
Jamie, can you run me through how Snorlax is going to help you sneak into a Lapras base again?
Yeah, we glossed over that too quickly.
Yeah, like, it's not the point, but, like, I just want to draw attention to the fact that that was just said.
Yeah, so it's a really cool image in my head of Snorlax with, like, a ninja headband on, trying to be sneaky.
Uh-huh.
Yes, cool is how you phrase that.
And then, like, some guards come along and he gets the cover box out and it just fits over his head.
You see the size of that boy?
I hear he's even bigger than Tom Cruise.
At this point, we just wait until you're near shore, find, like, a sort of ramp-shaped cliff, have the Snorlax and roll him down it, and it'll just bowling ball the Lapras base out of, like, decommission it in one go.
So anyway, Stoutland.
Stoutland.
Big-hearted Pokemon. So, Stoutland builds on my former picks in that it's also a transport Pokemon. It can pull sleds. It's like a whole team of Huskies combined into one dog. And you can ride it. It helps you find things when you've lost them. That's its special move. So I figure Stoutland and I could get a job as, like, being a cold climate courier or working mountain or coastal rescue after everyone is thrown off the side of the Lapras by Jamie's evil plan. It's really wise, and you can trust it to babysit your kids, which is something that neither Charizard nor Lapras has going for them.
Question. How do any of these things help you? Like, you getting a job in the Arctic was a real choice, given that one of your opening gambits was, I'd like to be warm.
That's a very good point. I would like to draw your attention to Stoutland's fantastic body of fur. It gets tougher and tougher as it gets older, and it's basically fully impervious to harm.
Oh.
What about the cold?
Yes, I did research this. Being trapped in Stoutland's long fur is so comfortable that a person could be fine, even overnight, on a wintry mountain.
Mm, okay, no, very good, very good.
Yeah, so I'm going to make jumpers out of this stuff. We're going to go riding around in the Arctic together. It's going to be very Skyrim, but I won't be cold looking at it.
One of the few lines I've read about this is, it's very proud of its impressive moustache, and I would be proud of that moustache.
It's a heck of a moustache.
I also thought it would be really relatable in that it has this fantastic moustache, which is actually how they determine social status.
So this Stoutland would be significantly higher status than you, Jamie.
Yeah, it would look down on you.
Yeah.
Than all of us, to be fair.
Oh. It would look down on you from its height of 3'6".
Oh.
Just tall enough to play Tom Cruise.
I was thinking the same thing.
I also thought you'd relate to it because while it is really faithful to the people it likes, it won't follow instructions given by people that it doesn't respect.
Okay, yeah, I can relate to that.
I mean, you've just picked another pet, haven't you?
But this one, I can ride. It can get me a job, which is a big priority right now, and it will keep me warm without actually killing me.
Is a canine Pokemon with a talent for rescuing people lost at sea or in the mountains? How can it rescue people lost at sea?
It can swim, Eddie. Dogs can swim.
Look at the fur on that thing. It's going to sink.
The fur must be buoyant, okay?
Yeah, it better be. Otherwise, that's a stone waiting to happen.
I've just checked. It can learn surf.
I don't understand.
That's how cool it is.
I mean, I guess a Pidgey can learn fly, then fair enough.
So what you're saying is now, you don't have the scale of Lapras, but you've got a dog that's a mini Lapras because it can surf.
It's like Lapras, but it isn't going to wreck any fishing treaties. You're not going to have any trouble with international waters or borders at the top of mountains because you'll be so busy heroically rescuing people. And it just sounds like fun to hang out with, which I think is underrated.
You're not a supervillain, but you're a better person.
You could have gone at Lapras from a, like, I'm going to rescue people at sea angle rather than I'm a supervillain who's...
Nah, no take-backsies.
Anything else about Stoutland in your
That's
reams of notes?
Say.
What's this? Teen years as herdier expensive due to grooming costs.
Hair grows constantly, becoming impervious to claws, fangs, and presumably scissors.
Can't even like, give it a trim.
No.
How are you going to make a fur jacket that you said you were going to make if you can't cut it?
Naturally.
You like pick up the molting around the house.
I'm also reading that you mentioned that it doesn't respect requests from people it doesn't like.
Yeah.
But I've also read that it enjoys spending time with humans and can warm up to a human in just 3 days.
Isn't that great? Because I suck at making friends.
That is nice, but all your enemy has to do is kidnap it for 3 days, but be nice to it. And then it's like, yeah, I'm down.
So you're saying I should revert to my evil genius plan?
I mean, I did like the evil genius plan. Whether or not it was a good plan. I did enjoy the take.
Right, so that's Stoutland out as your...
My top
your
boy.
Your top shot. So, Toby, you've got another one for us, right?
Well, somewhat perfectly, we've actually managed to segue into my other Pokemon choice. So, this was one where I couldn't decide between two. And those two are very boring. It's Eevee or Growlithe.
Oh, okay.
Now, as people previously mentioned, I think it was you, AJ, you said that Eevee was one of your initial ones. And Ed, your point was, but that's just a pet.
Yep.
Yes, that is just a pet. And you know what? I would quite like a pet.
Just get a cat or a dog.
Yeah, but instead of getting a cat or a dog, I could get a magic fox cat thing or a dog that's always a puppy. Literally forever a puppy.
Is that Growlithe's jam?
Growlithe is a puppy type Pokemon.
Ah.
As a person who loves puppies, yes, that sounds wonderful, but also, are you prepared to, like, house train this pet for how long do Growliths live?
Good question. Don't have a good answer for it.
We've never really talked about Pokemon lifespan.
Yeah, they just pass out.
I don't know. I don't have an answer.
But you do avoid the not being a puppy anymore by the fact that you don't have a Firestone.
Yeah, so I'm never going to become an Arcanine. And this is the same argument with Eevee, is that I'm not going to get Eevee to evolve because I have none of the hundreds of steps you have to go through. Whatever happens, I'm having a small cuddly pet that's staying with me.
Eevee is more of a risk because Eevee has some non-stone evolutions.
What? Oh, there's more Eevee evolutions that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
There's a lot.
Whereas Growlithe specifically needs a Firestone.
Okay, so in that case, we'll go with Growlithe and we'll just hope he doesn't cough too much and set fire to my house. What this pretty much came down to at the end of the day was, actually in my life, although having Hitmonchan as a trainer would be fun, it's a lot of work. I have a job. I don't really want to be an evil villain. And actually, dogs are a really popular pet for a reason. And I could have, like, a really cool dog.
I mean, I'm sold.
Right? It's my actual life. Having just a puppy that maybe doesn't poop, because have you ever seen a Pokemon shit? I haven't.
That is a really solid point.
Absolute winner. And it's like, it has a really good sense of smell. It's really loyal. He's friendly. It's basically just like a cool, it's like a cool pet dog.
So I want to come back to the point about it, like, not burning things down.
Yeah.
I feel like if it's a puppy, it's going to be less well-trained than, say, a grown-up dog-type Pokemon.
Absolutely.
So are you going to have to buy sort of fire-resistant everything for your house?
Well, so what I'm sort of hoping, if Pokemon have a specific moveset, I'll just give it, like, Growl, because those aren't going to set fire to anything. If it doesn't have a specific moveset, I'm in trouble, because it's going to sneeze and set fire to the house. That's going to happen. I don't have an answer for you. It depends how it works.
Key point, while you do get to replace moves as you level up,
yeah,
the moves that Growlithe starts with, as in not learns, just inherently knows from birth,
yeah,
is Ember.
Ah.
What does this involve exactly?
Some fire. It's a little bit of fire.
Just a little bit, though. Just a little bit of fire.
Little bit of fire. Also, if we're going by cartoon logic, they know more than four moves. They just know all the moves they know up to that point.
Yeah, so I don't have a good solution to the fire problem, except maybe I put Growlithe's, like, because if I'm awake at the time, it's fine, right? I can keep track of where Growlithe is. If Growlithe snorts and sets fire to things, I can stop it.
Yeah, when you can just keep track of what's on fire 24/7.
Exactly, easy peasy. Well, 24/7, not when I'm asleep. Growlithe's kennel is going to be the fireplace. So if he causes or she causes fire, it's a fireplace.
I like the idea that if you ever move into a new place, you have to be like, does it have a fireplace? They're like, nah, this, no, why would this have a fireplace? You're like, oh, wow, sorry.
This is too dangerous. We're out of here.
Just need to build a fire retardant kennel. Like, on a patio, not on grass, on a patio outside.
I mean, that seems like a sensible plan, but not something I'd accounted for. But yeah, that's my dog choice.
Choice of dog.
Smaller than Stoutland, but also adorable.
I can't argue with that.
I'm still interested in the choice to be like, I want a pet. Mm. Instead of having a pet and a cool Pokemon, I'm just going to have one of those things.
Yeah, so like, I've never had a pet, right?
Oh, really?
And my going theory is that because Growlithe is a Pokemon, it won't come with all the awful health problems that actual animals have.
You never see Ash take Pikachu to the vet. They go to the Pokemon's, yeah, Poke Center.
They go to the Pokemon Center because they've beaten each other up. But they're all quite fit and healthy. Because, like, my absolute favourite breed of dog is a pug. But I could not in good conscience have a pug. Because, my God, they have horrible lives.
Yeah.
So the next best thing on the small dog front would be a Pokemon dog that's definitely got good health because it's a Pokemon, probably.
These are some good points.
And doesn't poop.
Presumably.
I also have another issue. If your plan is that you never have an Arcanine,
yeah,
by having Growlithe never evolve,
yeah,
you do know that Bear is going to pull a prank on you by rubbing your Growlithe with a Firestone.
For sure.
Ah, you played your Bear trump card.
I don't have a... Because you're right, he will.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess what I have to do is I have to somehow be the person who supplies him with the Firestone in the first place.
Make sure it's fake.
That's the only play I've got. It's when he goes to buy it, he's actually buying it from me.
This is a bit of rock that he painted orange.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the Machoke one gets around it because trades are consensual from the trainer.
Yeah.
Right, if Eddie says he never trades,
yeah,
a Machoke never becomes Machamp.
No, that's true.
But Firestone is just coming into contact, I believe.
What if it's a Firestone that bear orders from Wish.com and it won't be a Firestone?
This is just an Irestone with an F painted on.
He'll go to buy, like, joke Firestone so he can make you think he's going to do it, and then it'll be a real one that shows up.
Ah, that'd be the worst of both worlds. He's actually trying to prank you and not evolve your thing, and then he accidentally does it and you're both just devastated.
I can't fight these sitcom-level shenanigans, I'm afraid. This is out of my hands.
Arcanine is still a top-tier Pokemon. I wouldn't be too upset.
Bit big, but pretty dope.
I think my biggest concern with Arcanine is that, Arcanine, how I like to pronounce it, is that surely it's just more likely to set things on fire.
It's also more grown up and therefore less likely to do it accidentally or playfully or spitefully.
That's true.
I mean, it sounds like you're winning other people over.
Yeah, if this were a vote.
I mean, it's a bit boring, but like otherwise it's not a bad pick.
Absolutely boring, yes.
Yeah.
Because like Eddie's won over on the tiger stripes on the Arcanine.
Yeah, I mean, you picked the tiger looking boy.
AJ's loving a cuddly dog pet thing.
Yeah, all right, but I can one-up this easily.
Okay, go for it.
Again, my three main criteria. Improves my life, improves the world. How can I make money from this? Can it play Tom Cruise? Criteria 4. And the one Pokemon that can do all four of these things, without any shadow of a doubt, Trubbish.
What?
I wasn't sure if you're going for garbage or rubbish, but...
I rest my case.
Now, I know it's partly a troll answer, but I feel like you've actually got arguments coming here.
Yeah, yeah. So the way my brain went with this one is it was like, it'll be funny to pick a really stupid Pokemon that I've always ragged on about being a stupid Pokemon, such as Trubbish. Wait a minute, what's the deal with Trubbish? So, my biggest point here is that Trubbish eats garbage. That is its staple diet.
Oh.
So my recycling is up to 100%, don't have to worry about that. Everything that can't be recycled goes straight into Trubbish.
Boom.
But I could also, like, lend that out to my wider community, being like, make this a recycling plant, essentially.
Okay.
There's definitely going to be money to make there. It's just like, people are like, oh, I've got a massive skip full of stuff I got to get rid of, and I'm like, I'll take that off your hands for a fee.
It's all about making money with you.
It's one of my three criteria. Four criteria.
It's like when you go to the zoo and you have to pay to buy the food off the zoo to feed to their animals for them.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
That's what you're proposing here. But the animals at the zoo are cute.
Trubbish is kind of cute if you look at it.
It is
actually.
Trubbish is much cuter than its evolution, Garbodor, and I have a lot of reasons for not picking Garbodor.
Garbodor.
Question. According to the Dex entries, Garbodor is the one that eats trash and turns it into poison.
Trubbish also eats rubbish, but it is like, it's a little less specific. Like, Garbodor seemingly has a limitless stomach for garbage, and it gets bigger as it eats more. One of the reasons to not pick it. Garbodor actively spews vile gas, whereas Trubbish only emits its vile gas when it's, like, scared or frightened or angry or something like that.
That's a really important distinction.
And once you befriend a Trubbish as well, it also stops emitting them in general.
Okay, that's handy.
So as long as I keep it calm and happy, it's not going to stink up my house. But Garbodor, like, you can't stop Garbodor from just spewing gas everywhere, basically. And if you do, it clogs up its arm and, like, hurts itself.
I have a bit of a concern with Trubbish.
I'm ready.
Which is, if Trubbish gets upset and does return to occasionally burping out gas,
yep,
this gas can prove fatal to children.
Yeah.
I mean...
I don't have children.
It is poison.
you don't have children, but what if Trubbish is like, you know, just chilling? He's chilling in the back garden.
He's having a nice time.
Some kid jumps over the wall because he's kicked a ball in. Trubbish is scared. He's never seen this kid before. He's never seen a child. He's not been exposed to them before. He burps. The child dies. Now you're responsible for the death of your neighbor's kid.
All right, easy. I can mitigate this with, like, legally mitigate this. All I got to do is put beware of Trubbish signs on every fence.
You can't screw me.
Like, if it's outside, it's possible the breeze will just take the gas away anyway and it won't be an issue. He's trespassing on my property. He's the one breaking the law. Just because my Trubbish happens to have a deadly gas nearby... If he hadn't broken the law of, like, trespassing in the first place, he wouldn't be dead. How is this my fault? It's not.
I think the wind just got taken right out of my sails by the new evil genius in the chat.
Uh-huh. The child murdering Eddie.
No, this is a purely benevolent strategy. I'm going to solve the world waste crisis via using a Trubbish.
Surely if you want to eat all the garbage in the world, though, you need a Garbodor.
Yeah, so this is, like, the trade-off that I had to choose between. Like, Garbodor has a seemingly bottomless hunger for garbage. whereas Trubbish, not quite sure how the whole evolution thing works, so it's possible that if I feed it too much garbage, it evolves, and I really don't want that. So I might have to be careful with that. But, like, I can slowly chip away at, like, bits of garbage and reduce the overall waste level of certainly my local area, and hopefully further. And, you know, all I gotta do is convince one other person to pick Trubbish, and then we can make more Trubbishes and solve the world waste crisis that way.
I'm sorry, that's banned under the two Pokemon rule.
So, my next question for why Trubbish over Gardevoir?
Garbodor.
Garbodor. Is that there is Gigantamax Garbodor.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
It's so big that in its trash heap pile that is its body, there are planes and... Oh, no, they're giant toy ships and toy planes. That's weird, okay. Anyway, it's a massive pile of junk.
Yeah.
It's huge. It's the size of, like, a football stadium. Yeah. Are you sure you don't want that?
No, absolutely not. I can't control that. I can't deal with that much, like, gas spewing into the environment. Trubbish burps occasionally, and all I've got to do is keep the kids away. Garbodor's like, I've got an arm that constantly spews vile gas, and if it doesn't, it hurts me and possibly kills me. That's not what I want. The point of picking Trubbish is it's smaller, more controlled, easier to keep contained, and not get out of hand, basically. The only advantage I can see of Garbodor is that it can eat more garbage, and so you need less of them to solve the world waste crisis. But otherwise, it's uglier, it's bigger, it's worse, it's smellier, just don't pick it.
They are eating garbage and converting it into poisonous gases. If you eat all the waste in the world and turn it all into poisonous gas.
I don't think they strictly are. I think strictly they're turning it into Pokemon poop.
Pokemon don't poop.
Have you seen a Pokemon poop?
This one does, though.
So Trubbish seems like a good one if everyone's getting one.
That would suck.
There'll be dead children everywhere. Why does people think this is a good idea?
No, because when you befriend them, they stop making the gas.
What if they get scared?
Well, don't spook a Trubbish.
What if you don't know it's dead? Because it looks like a rubbish bag.
Once we eliminate the need for waste, because everyone's giving their waste to Trubbishes.
Trubby.
Look, this is suspiciously evil villain. You're saying that AJ is the real bad guy here.
Absolutely.
And you're just being like, no, it's fine, it's fine. We just need to make sure there's a Trubbish in every house. Once there's a Trubbish in every house, everything will be okay. You just have to make some sacrifices to your liberty. It'll be fine.
Liberty? No, no, you don't have to sacrifice your liberties. You just have to sacrifice some of the population.
Okay, fair.
All the kids.
This is a much better plan than Thanos.
Okay, but Thanos isn't a Pokemon.
No, but the way he solved the whole overpopulation problem was by killing most of them.
Why are we trying to come to a solution for the overpopulation crisis?
Can't we just have pets?
No, I'm coming to a solution for the world waste crisis. You're bringing up the fact that people are dying. Not relevant to my point.
Oh dear. Oh golly.
I think I've got one more benefit of Trubbish here, and that's sheer comedic value.
Well, like, you go around your friend's house, they're like, oh, I heard you got to pick a Pokemon, I'm so jealous of you. Like, what did you pick? And you're like, wait till you find out.
Here he is. Also, your kids can't play with him. He'll accidentally cough poison on them.
Also, your child is
brilliant. It just knocks adults out, so that most of my friends aren't children, so that's fine.
It doesn't just knock you out. It says it can put you in hospital and make you unconscious for a week.
We've got NHS, don't worry about it. I mean, there's also the fantastic prank of someone's come around to my house and I'm like, oh, I've got this empty bottle or whatever, where can I throw it? I'll be like, oh, just chuck it in the bin.
Yeah.
You see where this is going. They go to throw it in the bin and then you just suddenly, he goes, Trubbish! Or whatever noise Trubbish makes. And they go, holy fuck! And the gas gets burned in their face and they go to hospital for a week. Top tier prank right there.
Best prank of all time.
I would not recommend looking up the sound that Trubbish and specifically Garbodor make because it is horrible.
This does beg a question, though.
Yeah.
It's friendly to use, it's not making the gas, right?
Yep.
But if something else spooks it, it makes the gas and it knocks you out.
Yeah.
It's defeated you, so it gains some XP and levels up.
Yeah.
And you're knocked out for a week.
Yep.
So you're not there to press the B button.
Yep.
And now you've got a Garbodor.
Garbodor I would sell to the highest bidder to solve their own recycling crisis, because I am not dealing with a Garbodor.
They would definitely use that for unsanitary purposes.
All right, I donate it to that big pile of plastic in the Pacific Ocean.
Just put it on like a dinghy and just like push it out.
Yeah, a lot of the reasons for picking Trubbish is that I am not dealing with a Garbodor.
I see it.
So if he accidentally evolves and I'm not there to press the B button quickly enough, I'm sorry, my good friend, I gotta send him to a farm up north somewhere.
So you got to Trubbish by talking about stupid Pokemon choices. You said that's where you started from.
Yeah.
So, out of curiosity, what other ones fit into that category?
Well, like...
Is it like the ice cone one?
The ice cream cone.
The ice cream cone.
Yeah, ice cream cone definitely fits into that category, but like, it's there's not really a good argument for why you would pick an ice cream cone.
Are you kidding me? Would you rather have a cone of ice cream or a bag of trash?
No, what you're asking me is, would I rather have something that eats garbage and like massively improves my CO2 footprint, or a puddle?
Okay.
I mean, like, other stupid Pokemon, I think I mentioned Klefki earlier, the keyring one, which I thought was pretty dumb, but has like one use, and it's very personal. So
very situational.
Yeah, it's very individual, so it doesn't really help me improve the world, as I'm aiming to do with Trubbish. There's one that is just a sword, and while that would be badass, I'm not sure there's any reason for me to own just a sword.
Oh, I love Honedge. Great. It's a haunted sword.
I mean, it's a great Pokemon, but, like, I just don't need that, right? I don't have enough enemies yet for that.
You will once your Pokemon has farted on a few people.
And knocked them out for a week.
Like, there are strictly worse options here. Like, Grimer or Muk is just a straight downgrade from Trubbish.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's saying that there aren't worse options.
Yeah, so therefore, Trubbish is a good option.
What we're saying is there might be better ones.
I don't think there are, though. I think I made a pretty strong argument for Trubbish. I'm sure we lose a few children along the way, but what's that in comparison to solving the world waste crisis?
The price we pay for progress.
You're just your apartment.
As the popular phrase goes, first my apartment, then the world.
Right. Unless anyone has any more questions.
I didn't know that this was a Pokemon, so this has been an educational and somewhat horrific experience. Thank you.
I was very disappointed to learn about Trubbish when I first learned that it was going to be a Pokemon, and the more I've looked into Trubbish, the happier I am that it exists.
Aww.
Like you say, it's surprisingly cute.
It is quite cute.
It is.
Yeah, unless anyone's got any more questions.
Yeah, I don't know. I need to come up with a way of... I haven't got a scoring system. Is it Snorlax? 0 points.
Well, zero across the board.
I have to have a think.
7 hours later...
Right, I'm back after deliberating on this for like 7 hours. I've thought about every angle possible. So after that deliberation, I have come to the conclusion that this week's winner, due to the combination of the Pokemon they brought, rather than any individual answer, is Eddie.
Yes! I knew Trubbish was a good pick!
I genuinely enjoyed the two different approaches that these Pokemon brought to you. I like Machoke's almost opposite nature to Snorlax in terms of being driven compared to being asleep. And I liked coming up with a genuinely good reason for why Trubbish is a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Trubbish, good thing.
Okay.
What do I win?
Right, so this week's prize is a 1999 collectible Pokemon sticker number 240 by the now-defunct Merlin Collections, featuring one quarter of a picture of Ash and the Pokemon logo.
Ooh!
Wow!
That's the one I need!
Unbelievable.
I knew my boy Trubbish would pull through, despite those kids.
We didn't need him anyway.
Well done, Andy.
Yeah, like I said, solving two global problems at once. Hey, winner, winner. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate if you shared it with a friend or two. Word of mouth is the best way for small podcasts like ours to grow, and we cannot afford any advertising at the moment. If you want to check out more of the stuff we do, head on over to hexagorgon.com. That's hexagorgon.com. We're also at Hexagorgon on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitch. Actually, that's not true. There's extra letters in some of those. I'll put links to them down in the description. Click on those and follow us in all the various places, because we're great. I mean, well, you know, if you think we're great. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to see you next time.
Oh, wait. And this week's winner... is Snorlax, because it always was from the very beginning.
Well done, Jamie, for winning your own question.
Well done, Snorlax. You won.
Yeah.